You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yo, what's up? This is the Talk No Star podcast, and we are back from a brief, but it was a long vacation. We took a little break over the holidays, and we're back. We're not going to even go into what we were doing and why we didn't do it, but we're back for you guys, and we're back to get you ready for the NFC Wildcard Weekend. It's happening here in just a few days. Cowboys take on the Seahawks this Saturday. Primetime game Saturday at AT&T Stadium. And we're back to preview that game for you. But first, we're going to hand out some awards. But before we get to those awards, it's been a while, guys. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Excited for this weekend.
I know. I missed talking to you guys all week. But
I miss y'all, too.
It's been a couple weeks since we've been together. But Dalton, you doing all right?
I am doing all right. I got the website up. It is there. You guys should all go look at it. It is bluechipscouting.com. Other than that, I'm chilling.
Dalton's chilling. Cole's chilling. I'm chilling. I leave for Texas tomorrow morning, Thursday morning for the people listening. So I
will be. Your flight's going to get delayed.
Why is it going to get delayed?
It's supposed to snow in Dallas.
Oh, yeah, it's really bad weather right now.
Tomorrow morning?
Oh, I don't know when. I don't care. I'm just.
It's like 30 degrees and raining right now.
Yeah, so no snow. That means I'm good.
Yeah, that's what you
ice.
Think. Dude, Texas doesn't know what to do with cold weather.
Yeah.
Cold weather and precipitation, Connor. It's going to be the end of the world. It's going to be Armageddon.
We lose our minds down here.
Hold on, you got me checking the weather now. No,
dude, you should see all the accidents when it rains. When it's 80.
I think I'm good because I'm looking at it right now. And as I pull up the weather, and this is
but
just
is that a, Dan Brunoff?
No, it's
or
just
is that weather.com?
Weather.com.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you got to go to local meteorology.
Right, so I don't fly in. Like, I fly out of Baltimore tomorrow at 6, and I don't get to Dallas until 9, and there's no chance of rain or anything then. So hopefully we'll be okay. Cross your fingers for me. How about that? But let's get into this. We got a long show today. We got a lot to talk about. The weather's the last thing we need to be talking about. But we're going to start off the show giving out our end-of-the-season awards. They do it every year. You get the MVP, the Offense Player of the Year, Defense Player of the Year, bunch of different awards. We're going to do the same thing, but just with the Cowboys. Dalton's going to take over the segment because he has the list written down. And me and Cole are going to fall in line. Dalton's going to give some insight as well. So I'm going to let Dalton take over. We're going to kind of speed through this a little bit, not super fast, but we got a lot to talk about today, jam-packed show for you. So, Dalton, the carpet is yours.
Yeah, so we're going to skip a couple of them. Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year, kind of easier ones. That's Michael Gallup and Leighton Vander Esch. Coach could be a little bit different, but a lot of people would say Chris Richard, comeback player, Randy Gregory, just being on the football field is phenomenal. Best free agent, Antoine Woods, absolutely. And then we are going to go through, do MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and then Best Play, Unsung Hero, and Breakout Player. So, let's start it off with the MVP.
Are you going to
Cole,
start it off? Or
who's your MVP? I said Connor, who's your MVP?
Oh, I didn't
I'm
hear
glad
you.
My co-host is listening today. Cole, you can go now. Connor, you're in timeout.
Yeah, okay. I think it's pretty easy. I think this team runs through Ezekiel Elliott, so I'll give him the MVP. I think this team reaches another level when he's going, when he's on his game. The way how he can affect the game, pass blocking as a receiver, obviously running the football. I think he is the most valuable player on this football team. I think there's a big drop off when Rod Smith enters the game. Nothing against Rod, but I think Ezekiel Elliott is one of the best players in the National Football League. I think he has to be the MVP of this team.
All right, Connor's still in timeout, so I'm going to go. the MVP is Ezekiel Elliott, and it's for all the reasons that Cole just said. He's one of the best backs in the league. Top five for sure. I would argue that he's a top three back. And as a pure runner, I think he is probably the best. Connor, go.
Ezekiel Elliott is not the MVP of this team because the MVP of this team can not only score 6 touchdowns on the ground, 3 through the air, so 9 touchdowns. The MVP of this team, and I kind of just, I guess, you know, booted my own argument, but Ezekiel Elliott was on this team in the first half of the season when this team was garbage and looked like it was going to have a top 5 draft pick. And then they made a trade for Ezekiel Elliott and for Amari Cooper. And Amari Cooper opened things up for Ezekiel Elliott because, yeah, Amari Cooper came on, played 9 games, scored 6 touchdowns, had 725 receiving yards, whatever that number was. But everything changed once he got on board. They got more first downs. The offense looked a little bit better. The quarterback started playing better. The running back had some things open up for him. And that's the reason I'm giving it to Amari Cooper. Yeah, his stats haven't been great over the last few weeks, but he's still getting open. He's still drawing coverage. He's opening things up for the quarterback, for the other receivers, for the running back. Therefore, he is the most valuable player on this team.
All right, offensive player of the year. Who do you got, Connor?
I can give that award to Ezekiel Elliott because I think he's played well enough to do the, you know, he hasn't scored a whole lot. That's been the big knock, and that goes across the board to himself, to the coordinator, to the offensive line, to possibly even the quarterback, the lack of receiver weapons. But like you guys said, the offense kind of runs through him. That therefore, I'm going to give him that award as Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, Zeke gets it for me, too. What about you, Cole?
Yeah, I'm backwards on Connor. I have Amari Cooper as Offensive Player of the Year, just for the reasons he said. The impact he has made since joining this team cannot be understated. He's helped this team in every way. As far as moving the football, moving the chains on third down, I believe they're first in the league since the acquisition. I mean, he's been a huge part of this team, and I think he deserves Offensive Player of the Year because I don't want to give Zeke both awards.
I'll say
that makes sense.
I'll say that if they hadn't flipped such a switch when they added Cooper, I'd probably have them flipped. Like, say they went 8-8, barely snuck into the playoffs, but since it was just such a big difference with Cooper, I just think that value, you know, it's immeasurable to me because they were 3-5. You know, we were talking about how bad were. So,
yeah, I mean, they went 7-1 after they got Cooper, so I can understand where you're coming from there. What about Defensive Player of the Year, Connor?
That one's tough because, you know, I want to give it to a guy like Byron Jones, but the turnovers weren't there, and to be that impact player of the year, I think you have to get turnovers. You have to take the ball away. Therefore, I'm going to have to give it to Tank, DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, 10.5 sacks, multiple forced fumbles. You know, a big turnover in a game that, you know, a lot of people say was meaningless, but I think that it's going to go a long way in this month of January against the Giants. I just think his impact affecting the run, affecting the quarterback, bringing the quarterback down and doing those things not healthy is just huge. You know, I think he's just a remarkable player that this team needs to do everything in its power to lock him up for a long time.
Cole?
Yeah, my Defensive Player of the Year is DeMarcus Lawrence. He's a guy that obviously it's a big game changer. Having a big pass rusher off the edge is huge. And in this day and age in the NFL, he's a guy that can change the course of a game. And he's a guy that can get this defense off the field. He's the one that takes this defense to the next level.
So I went a little bit different here. I did end up going with Byron Jones, and I went with Byron Jones because anybody who can just almost completely lock down an entire side of the field in man coverage, when you know that ball will not be completed to that person, is something that gives the rest of the defense confidence, and it allows you to game plan around. You can run half man, half zone schemes. You can run more matchup stuff. You can blitz more often because you don't have to worry about your guy getting dusted in a one-on-one press man situation. And that's why I have him as the defensive player of the year. You know, this is something that for MVP, I know that offense usually gets those kind of things, but Tank Lawrence and Byron Jones could have been considered the MVPs of this team as well.
And before we were you gonna add or were you gonna move on?
No, go ahead.
I really wanted to give it to Jalen Smith.
I think he's been a game wrecker, man.
It's been unreal.
It's been great.
And I don't know if we're doing comeback player of the year or not. I know we talked about in the, you know,
we are not doing comeback player, but we will be doing a break player.
And we talked pre-show about not doing that one because, you know, Randy Gregory was going to be an obvious choice. But I think I would have went with Jalen Smith there just because last year, everything he's come from, and I know he played last year, but he was not the player he was this year, last year, and it's remarkable to see how far he's come. But I just wanted to give him a little bit of props because I think he's right in that category with Tank and Byron as well.
I agree with that. Now, let's go to unsung hero. I'm going to start off with mine. It's Antoine Woods. And the one tech is not a position that normally gets a lot of publicity. I personally love fat leets, so anybody who can take away the middle of the field like he does and play with the kind of swagger he does and to see where he came from, because he could win comeback player of the year because he was literally on a practice squad before he got to Dallas. And he's absolutely shown out here. And I, you know, it's to the point where I don't think other than to get a depth piece, you don't need to take a one tech high. I mean, this team doesn't draft defensive tackles high anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But to see how disruptive he's been, to see him flying, you know, relatively, you know, for somebody who's 300 plus pounds, to see him running around the field, to see how high of a motor he has, and he has been fun to watch this year, and he's somebody who you can really root for. Cole?
Yeah, I'll go with Antoine Woods as well. We had him on the show, obviously, earlier this year, so we might be biased, but he's been a guy that he doesn't get the recognition that DeMarcus Lawrence gets or that Randy Gregory generates. He doesn't get all of that, but he's a guy that does his job. He's a guy that he came up with a turnover last week against the Giants. He's a guy that makes a dirty play. He's not always going to get the high numbers. He's not going to be in a Pro Bowl, but he's a guy that's going to make the play that can win this game. He makes a small plays, and I think that matters, and he's had a really good season.
This one's going to be a little, I guess, shocking, but I still just don't think he gets the respect he deserves. You know, I don't know. I'm going to go with it. You guys are probably going to laugh at me, but I don't think you can give Zach Martin enough credit for what he does to this offensive line. I know, again, people probably are thinking you're crazy. He's could be the MVP, but I just don't think when you list off the players that you know, we talk about Ezekiel Elliott, we talk about Amari Cooper, we talk about DeMarcus Lawrence, it normally takes you about six or seven names to get to Zach Martin. And I think by far, in my opinion, he's probably the most talented player on this team. You saw what happened in Indianapolis when he didn't play. The offense just went to absolute garbage. And I think that just what he does week in and week out, playing injured, you know, he's had three MCL sprains this year, I want to say it was. So just the fact that he's able to battle those injuries, play at a high level, and really, you know, kind of what you said, Dalton, about Byron Jones taking away, you know, one whole part of the field, he kind of does that same thing at his position at right guard, just takes away any matchup he has and pretty much takes him out of the game. I think that shouldn't go unnoticed. And the fact that he's made Joe Looney's job, you know, a lot easier, which is another name a lot of guys might look at as an unsung hero. I think that's important as well. So I think he's just, his credit can't be, you can't over give him any credit. He's just been phenomenal this year playing banged up.
Yeah. And I mean, he's probably a top five player in the NFL when he's healthy. I mean, he's that good, and he's somebody because he plays offensive guard. He doesn't get the credit that he deserves. And I agree with you that because of those injuries and his ability to play through them, I think that him being an unsung hero is worthy of that title.
It's pretty crazy, and it's, you go back and look at Travis Frederick illness, disease, whatever you want to call it. You know, Joe Looney sliding in, and then Suofilo sliding in at left guard because Connor. So you would have been looking at an offensive line, an interior offensive line with Suofilo, Looney, and Connor Williams. If any of those injuries were significant to Zach Martin, and you know, just a little we're going to get into the game preview here in a little bit, but man, I was very disappointed in Connor Williams' play last week against the Giants, and he's going to need a whole year to figure out whether he's going to be a guard or whether he needs to worry about sliding out and playing tackle or what, but I'm just so thankful for Zach Martin, his ability to fight through those injuries, play hurt, play at such a high level, because I don't know what a season would look like with Williams, Looney, and Suofilo lined up all next to each other.
All right, let's get to breakout player. Cole, who is it?
Kind of thought about this between the two linebackers, considering that nobody, I mean, the vast majority of Cowboys fans were kind of underwhelmed by the Leighton Vander Esch pick at the time it happened, but he's obviously proved that wrong. But I'm going to go with Jalen Smith for the obvious reasons. I mean, he's a guy, he's the heart of this defense. It seems like he's always making a big hit. He's flying all over the field. He brings his defense a lot of energy that everybody feeds off of. He's kind of like the Dak Prescott of the defense in the sense that everybody rallies around him. And the fact that this is a guy that's probably never going to get to 100%, at least where he was going to be coming out of college, it's been fun to watch. And he's a guy that I think is ascending at the right time.
It was breakout player, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to do Byron Jones for that award, just because he's been playing safety his first 3 years in the league. Chris Richard comes to town, switches him to corner. He makes the Pro Bowl. He's probably about to make himself so much money. You know, 2 years ago, shoot, even a year ago, we were talking about, you know, man, this guy's a first-round pick. He's okay. He's average. You know, he doesn't get turnovers, he doesn't get picks, he still doesn't, but he's just a dominant corner. And I think that that's, you know, a breakout player in my opinion, a guy who makes that position change, gets that new coach, comes in and just plays at a Pro Bowl level. And I think that, you know, he fits that title pretty perfectly.
Yeah, so I went with the other linebacker. I went with LVE. He's somebody who, you know, I thought we might be talking about him for this award next year after a little bit of development, a year in the NFL to kind of learn things, to learn the speed of the game. And he has totally blown me away this season with how he's played. I had no inclination that he would be what he is today from what I saw on film last year. And it's not to say that he wasn't good or that he wasn't worth a developmental type pick in the first round, but there's nobody other than maybe Jonah Toles who would have told you that he could do this right now. Anybody else saying that they thought he would be this is being disingenuous, because we all not killed the pick, but weren't ecstatic with it. And he's been one of the top two linebackers for rookies in the NFL, him and Darius Leonard, obviously, and there were two linebackers drafted ahead of him. So I really like what he's done this season. I think that he's not even close to hitting his ceiling, which is scary, because if Sean Lee sticks around, continues to groom him and Jalen Smith, even, you know, if it's at a lower salary or if he becomes a player coach or a coach, I think that he could be one of the best all time because of how big, how fast, how fluidly he moves. He's got it all. If he gets elite diagnosis in his game, it is over for people. Now, after that hot take, let's get to my next hot take, which is the best play of the season for the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm going with this strictly because I'm a homer and I love this person. Cole Beasley's catch against the New York Football Giants on Sunday was incredible. To be able to get his knee down in the end zone to extend out and catch that pass after tracking it through the air where it probably wasn't meant to be, but the only place it could have gone. For him to make that adjustment, fight through the contact, extend out and make that catch in a big situation on 4th and 15. That was wild. So, because I love Cole Beasley and because that catch was insane, in a game that didn't even matter, came the best play of the season. Connor, you're up.
I would agree that that's probably the best play, you know, the most talented play of the year when you talk about the...
And then I didn't even talk about the throw.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you put in the sack that was avoided, the rollout...
Everything about that play.
It was just phenomenal. The play, that's the play that has the most talent. That's the team play of the year. Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction for a different little bit of reason. I'm going to have to go with the Amari Cooper catch in overtime, the deflected. It was just a slant. It was on third down. You talk about that play. If they lose that game, they likely don't win the division. I just don't know if they end up rattling off the wins. I don't know if Philadelphia ends up coming back and catching them. I don't know the word I'm looking for, but the value of that play, I guess, or whatever you want to talk about, how much value that play had, not giving Philadelphia the ball back, giving them a chance to come back, you know, and kick a field goal and tie it or score a touchdown. You know, that was a third down play there. So just the ability. We've seen a few plays this year where the ball's tipped up in the air like that. It happened to Cole Beasley a couple weeks ago where it bounced off his head. He kind of gave up on the play. Cooper followed it in, grabbed it, took it in, won the game. And I really think that was just a deciding factor in the year when they went in, you know, beat Philly and just decided we're taking the division. No one's coming back and getting it from us. I think that play holds so much value in that scheme of things.
Cole.
Yeah. So I had three plays for this, and y'all kind of said the other two. and both plays are great for the reasons y'all laid out, especially the Giants one. I think that play can carry the momentum into the playoffs, and the Amari Cooper one obviously won the game. But another play that I had, I would say the goal line stand against the Saints, just to see, because I think it was it the most athletic play? Was it
That's
like
a good one.
What Dak did? No, but it was a play that I think that play right there set the tone for that game against a team that was on fire. That was arguably the best team in the National Football League at that time, and even right now, they're a team that they thought they could push around the Cowboys, and they thought they could get in the end zone. The Cowboys weren't having any of it. I think that play won the game in the long run, and I think that play really got a lot of people buying into this team and thinking they can make a run. So just for that, I think this. It shows how good this defense is and can be, and I had to go with that play.
And two plays I just wanted to bring up real quick. Leighton Vander Esch's third down tackle against Philly on the swing pass where
for sure.
He beat two blockers. And then I know that this one came in a loss, but Jalen Smith, 4th and goal stop versus the Texans, seeing how quickly he got to the sideline to make that hit on Deshaun Watson was awesome.
It was.
Also, before we go to break, we do got to get a break. Dalton, I'm going to let you take us to break since you did such a wonderful job in that last segment. but the Jalen Smith fumble recovery against Tampa Bay, that can't really go unnoticed either because they don't score that. That game's a whole lot different. You know, the offense had its struggles in that game. You're going into New York, you know, possibly going into New York, having to play for your life, for your division, you know, possibly for your playoff odds, depending on what all happens. So... That was a huge play too. That kind of sparked that game, sparked that win. So that's there's a lot of them, and it seemed that Jalen Smith was involved in a lot of them, so that's awesome. So
for sure.
All right, take us to break, Dalton.
I just love how you have to allow me to take us to break.
Oh, trust me, I would.
He's giving you permission.
No.
Wow.
I want. Wow. Trust me, the amount that goes into trying to keep this garbage on track, you know, me and Dalton had a podcast. I don't know if you listened to it the other day, but it was pretty much just us hanging out for 45 minutes. It was just absolutely horrible. But
I think that was one of our best episodes.
That and the post production is so bad, but I love doing it. So,
all right, so we are going to head to break. When we get back from break, we are going to talk about this playoff game against Seattle, one that Connor will be at in Dallas, a home game for the Cowboys. Let's see if they can exact revenge against the Seattle Seahawks. We'll get into it when we get back.
And we're back from break. Dalton just, you know, taking control. So I'm going to let Cole take control, and he's going to bring us back from break. And then we're going to go into setting up this Cowboys-Seahawks matchup that's happened here in just a few days on Saturday. Is it 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock kickoff, is that right?
It is.
Okay, cool. 7 o'clock kickoff, AT&T Stadium, as Dalton hinted to, the revenge game that we're going to call it. So Cole, go ahead and shout out everybody. Bring us back, get us on track so we can go ahead and knock off this playoff podcast.
Yeah, we're entering the final segment of this pack show that I hope you all are enjoying. I'd like to give a shout out to Blogging the Boys, Vox Media, and SB Nation for just giving us a platform to talk Cowboys with all of y'all. It's really appreciated, and we've had a lot of fun this season. And shout out to all of our Twitters, Connor NFL Draft and Dalton B. Miller, and you can follow me on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. So we're going to get into predictions right now, or I guess we'll go into preview right now. So I'll let Connor start it off. What do the Cowboys have to do offensively to attack Seattle?
You know, it's interesting because I saw a couple of tweets the other day that kind of were like, you know, Seattle's offensive line. You said Cowboys attack Seattle's defense, so Cowboys offense, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I saw a tweet the other day that was kind of bashing the Cowboys' secondary, you know, was saying that Seattle's secondary wasn't good. You know, they didn't have Earl Thomas, their corners weren't good. That's just not true. You know, they're not the Legion of Boom. You know, obviously if they had Earl Thomas, they would be better. But Bradley McDougal has played well for them. You know, Tedrick Thompson has played well for them. Shaquille Griffin has played well for them. They haven't been bad in the secondary by any means, and I think you can't overestimate just how good their linebackers are. You know, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, those guys are good. If you let them flow to the football untouched, they're going to wreck that game. You know, that's kind of what they did last game. You know, they'll completely take out the Cowboys' run game. They'll completely, you know, give Dak Prescott fits. I just think it comes down to the offensive line. If the offensive line plays well, I actually just got asked this question on Twitter. I was asked what was the, you know, one thing that they need to do, and I think it's the offensive line has to play well. They have to control Frank Clark. They have to control Jerron Reed, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright. If those things happen, they'll be able to run the football, which will open up, you know, open up the run. It'll back guys off the line of scrimmage, which then open up things for the run. So I think that it starts with the front. That front five for the offensive line, and if they can, you know, control the game, then I think the Cowboys will have a good chance to win it. And if they don't, I think that it goes the other way. Dalton, I'm going to ask you the same question because I think that you could go different ways with that question. What do you think they need to do on offense to control Seattle's defense and make sure that they're able to at least move the ball in a successful way?
So I believe that they need to do what they should do way more anyways, is run play action. It's something that I saw the Kansas City Chiefs, they did this, and then they attacked horizontally. So they used Tyreek Hill in a lot of jet sweep motions to kind of take control of the linebackers and obviously the front four as well, kind of just keep them there just for a second and allow their offensive line to get to them. But I'm going to stay away from the offensive line and talk about that play action, because I think that they are going to try to sell out to stop Ezekiel Elliott. And because of that, and because of the trust that Dak Prescott now seems to have in Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz, I think that they could very easily run those quick pop passes over the middle of the field or take hard play action shots down the field when they decide to run cover two. I'm talking about the Seattle Seahawks. When they decide to run cover two, taking shots down the field with your tight end running a seam route straight up the middle of the field and your two outside receivers running vertical routes with Cole Beasley coming underneath and Ezekiel Elliott running a swing to try to influence one of those corners to stay up. Just give yourself options, but try to attack the middle of the field behind the linebackers so then they need to immediately gain depth and they aren't able to right away crash on the run over and over and over again. You need to try to keep them honest. Keep them where they're at because they will sell out for the run. Bobby Wagner is like that on his reads. So you need to do things to throw him off of that. Hard play action fakes and RPOs. Get those quick slants right behind those guys as well. That's something else that Kansas City did with some success. Linebackers are going to come up. Hurt them when they do.
Yeah, and Colt, you know, I wanted to, before we kind of get your take on it as well, you know, it was interesting because I heard a few things today, some of the information I gathered from a few different, you know, people that I talked to, is that it seemed like Doug Nussmeier and Dak Prescott had a little bit more control of the game plan last Sunday against the Giants. And I wonder if that's going to float over into Saturday's game plan, because since it did have so much success, the offense moved the ball well with so many backups in. You know, and we saw a difference there. I saw some people with some, you know, snarky, whatever you want to say, comments like, oh, well, what did the – nothing changed in the offensive plan. You know, it was the same play calls. And that's just not true at all. They attacked the middle of the field more than they had. They ran a lot of RPOs. I was surprised at the amount of RPOs they did run. You know, and that's just the things that work. They kind of didn't run the ball in those situations that they normally run the ball in. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's because Ezekiel Elliott wasn't on the field. I'm not sure why, but they kind of relied heavily on the pass. And it's because it was a close game, but for a while they were up 14-3, I want to say it was. So they didn't need to throw the ball as much as they did, but they did, and they did it creatively, and I think that's a big reason why they had success. I'm sure we covered a lot of that, but Cole, do you have anything that we didn't cover that you want to see that offense do against the Seattle defense?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he basically covered it all as far as this offensive line has to dominate the line of scrimmage. They have to enforce their will. And the Seahawks, they have talent. They can get after the quarterback. They can shut down the run. They can do what it takes to make that a challenge. But if the Cowboys want to win this game, they will have to own the line of scrimmage. And kind of like what Dalton mentioned, the linebackers for Seattle are going to play a huge role in this game. They have K.J. Wright. He doesn't get the publicity that Bobby Wagner does, but he's a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker who seems to be healthy at the right time for them. He's been a guy that's missed a lot of this season, but he's very smart. He's played very well in the past few weeks. He's a guy I'd like to see Dallas play, use some play action, use some misdirection, and get them out of position to create opportunities in the middle. See, like on the two-point play where they use some put Tavon in motion, and they got the ball to Gallup. I'd like to see a little bit more of that moving forward. Obviously, you don't want that to be every single play, but just some sprinkle and wrinkles here and there would be ideal as far as opening the rest of the playbook and rest of the offense up.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Let's talk a little bit about the Seahawks offense against Cowboys defense. You know, they at one time looked at their offense is the weaker link on the team. You know, it was kind of all Russell Wilson or nothing. It was all Russell Wilson or that offense struggled. And that's not the case anymore. You know, they have Chris Carson. They have weapons on that offense. Doug Baldwin's kind of I want to say an afterthought, but he's not the number one option. They have, you know, Tyler Lockett, Chris Carson. You know, they have featured Rashad Penny here and there. The offensive line's playing better. So, Cole, I wanted to get to you first here. What are you worried about on that offense? You know, a lot of people are going to say Russell's legs, and I think that's might be the obvious answer, but I'm not sure it's the correct one. But we're going to cover all fronts here, so I wanted to ask you first what you thought was the number one weapon on that Seattle offense.
I would say the ground game and Chris Carson in particular. They really invested in their ground attack recently, and Chris Carson's been a huge factor in that. He's a guy that can set the tone for that offense, which opened things up in the play action game for Russell Wilson, excuse me. So I think shutting him down and limiting him, I mean, he's a guy that had a pretty solid game. He had a pretty good game against Dallas. Obviously, that's the game that Sean Lee tweaked his hamstring. Leighton Van Der Esch was still learning, Jalen Smith and all that. But, I mean, still, I mean, he has had some success against his defense, and I think shutting him down, making them one-dimensional, obviously would do a lot of things, but that's easier said than done.
Yeah, no, I agree. Dalton, what are your take on it and where you think they can find some success and where you think they're, you know, going to have their struggles against Seattle's offense?
Well, they're going to need to be able to rush the passer, which is something that they couldn't do in the first game. And I'm not quite sure why, because, you know, I've seen that from what I'm watching, the Seattle Seahawks offensive line seems to do pretty well when they are run blocking. Chris Carson does have a few holes to run through, and when he doesn't, he seems to just run through guys anyways. So tackling will be big, but you have to get to Russell Wilson. You have to, or he will pick you apart down the field. We saw one of the big deciding factors. I know that it wasn't, you know, necessarily a close game in the first matchup, but that big long touchdown was huge. And you have to be able to affect Russell Wilson, get him on the move. I don't think that he's necessarily going to want to try to run away from guys. And you have linebackers who I'm sure somebody will be spying on him as well, who can flow to the football and pick him up. So you need to get to him quickly. This, like I said, is not a good pass blocking offensive line. You need to affect his timing.
Yeah, and I think that comes, you know, we saw last week against the Cardinals. I watched a little bit of that game today and over the weekend, as soon as that 22 is coming out, not over the weekend, over New Year's. They sent blitz a lot, and I think that's something that Rod Marinelli doesn't like to do, but it's something I think they're going to have to do at times to keep him uncomfortable. I do think that one thing that Wilson has struggled with in the past, he's been better with this year, is his pocket presence. He's been, you know, acceptable to bailing out of clean pockets, you know, as soon as he feels a little bit of pressure because he trusts his legs so much, and his legs are dangerous. So it's not necessarily a negative, but if you can send some exotic blitzes his way that maybe show blitz, come out of blitz, you know, don't show that blitz right off the pre-snap, but then you're bringing the slot, you're bringing Anthony Brown, you're bringing Jordan Lewis, you know, out of the secondary, that might be some things that I could find, you know, that could be effective against him, because not necessarily that he panics, but he just likes to bail out and run. And it hasn't been as bad this year, but it has been in the past. So I think just keeping him uncomfortable in the pocket is something that's going to be huge. You know, not allowing, like Dalton said, him to sit back there, scan the field, you know, roll left, roll right, find the guy. I think if you send blitz from, you know, left side, right side, up the middle, different gaps, I think that that's, you know, something good. You know, the twists, the stunts, I think those can work against him because it keeps him uncomfortable. It keeps him, you know, checking for pressure. And I think if he's not comfortable, he's not as effective, and he hasn't been. You know, he wasn't effective last week against the Cardinals, and they did blitz a lot. So that's kind of what I want to see them do on defense to disrupt that. And I want to see them tackle better. That's something I haven't been completely happy with the last few weeks. So I hope that defense is ready for the challenge. I hope they come out, they tackle well. You know, they shut down Chris Carson. You know, they do get to Russell Wilson. They finish their sacks. They finish their pressures. They don't let them weasel out of the arms and create, you know, 20 yards on something that should have been a sack. That's going to be a big thing, too, that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, because he is what I call a squirmish, so he can get out of those sacks. He can get away from tacklers. So when you get your hands on him, bring him down, I think you'll find success, you know, on defense. Are you guys worried about any of these receivers?
No.
What Thank receivers? You, Ollie.
I mean, Tyler
No, Lockett's I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, you know, he's been I wouldn't call it a breakout year, but he's played well this year, so he's one.
No, I mean, he's definitely earning that contract, and I mean, Doug Baldwin, I don't know how to feel for him. Maybe he can still get open, but he's always playing banged up.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to call him an afterthought like I did earlier, but he almost is in that offense now. You know, he's the third or fourth option, it seems like. We don't have to see Will Dissly this time around. You know, he didn't have a huge game last game, but he's still a threat. You know, he's definitely a guy that you got to pay attention to. So,
wait, were you just in a tunnel?
What, did I sound crazy?
Yeah, you did.
I don't know. I didn't really.
Where were you? Where did you just go?
It sounded like you were far, and then you came back close.
Strange.
Did you just walk away from the microphone?
No, I promise you, I did not.
Unprofessional.
That's what it sounded like.
No, I promise you. Maybe I don't know. I'm trying to.
Wow.
What if my mic's not plugged in? Because I like backed off the screen a little bit, but I still had the mic with me. Interesting.
What you did?
I don't know. Horrible. Terrible. Awful, 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 awful. But it's time for our second break. So we're going to take our second break. We're going to come back. We're going to give you our predictions. We may, I say may, it's literally 50-50 that we'll be able to sneak in another pod this week. With me leaving, with Cole leaving on Saturday, it's going to be tough. But we don't know for sure. But we're going to go ahead and give you our predictions in case we aren't able to bring you another podcast this week. So we're going to take our final break, come back, give you our predictions. Get out of here and just prepare for the week because I'm going to be in Dallas. Cole's flying back to Mississippi Saturday. Dalton, mm-hmm. Where are you at, bro? Are you still in Pennsylvania? Dalton's still in Pennsylvania. We're just all spread out. The 1 week of the freaking year.
Eagles country.
The 1 week of the freaking year that I decided to go to Dallas to hang out with my co-host, they bail on me and leave. So, jeez Louise. So
we really should have planned better.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I tried to tell you guys 12 weeks ago they were going to make playoffs, and you laughed at me. So we're going to take our final break, come back, give you these predictions. We're talking the star. We'll see you guys real quick. And we're back. On the Talking the Star podcast, I'm your host, Connor Livesey. You can find me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. I'm here with my two wonderful co-hosts tonight, Cole Patterson. Follow him on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. And Dalton Miller. Follow him on Twitter at Dalton B. Miller. Make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Talking the Star. Blogging the Boys on Twitter at Blogging the Boys. Always want to give a big shout out to those guys at Blogging the Boys. RJ. You know, he does a great job putting everything out, helping us with this podcast. Can't thank him enough for his help this season, making sure this podcast runs smoothly. Also want to give a big shout out to the other podcast on Blogging the Boys, Bruising the Boys. That's Michael Sizemore and Tom Ryle. Ochoa Live, that's RJ Ochoa. And then the 750, which is with Tony Casillas and RJ as well. Those guys do wonderful work. Make sure you listen, click, like, you know, subscribe to every podcast on Blogging the Boys. That'd be huge. Also, shout out Vox Media, SB Nation. Thanks so much for doing what you guys do, allowing us this platform. We've had a wonderful time with you guys this season. This is our first postseason podcast from Talking the Star, and we're very happy that we're able to do that. So, first, let's get into these predictions. I want to hear how, I want to hear why they win, they lose. I just want to hear why, and I know the other guys do as well. So, Dalton, start it with you. Prediction time, what do you got?
No, I got to go find a tweet. I'll be right back.
All right, Cole, prediction time, what do you got?
Really, this game just comes down to my gut feeling, and my gut feeling is that I think Dallas comes out on top in this game. I just think they have what it takes to knock off Seattle. I know Seattle beat them in September. It was on the road. They didn't have Amari Cooper. I just think this team is. I think the Giants. I know the Giants aren't a very great team or anything, but I think the way they won, I think they. without a supporting cast and all of that. I think this team is riding on a momentum, and I don't think it stops this weekend. Obviously, I could be wrong, but I think the Cowboys have what it takes to make the play. I don't think they're going to blow out Seattle or anything. I think it's going to come down to a few key plays, and I think they had the defense to make that happen. I think Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott are the difference. I think they can make some plays down the stretch at home in front of what should be a great atmosphere. I'm hoping the Cowboys fans show up and be loud all game. I know you will be. So I hope. I just think Dallas, I think they win a game something like 17-13, something like that. I think it's going to be not very high scoring. I think it's going to be back and forth. And I think Dallas comes out on top at the end.
All right, first off, before I ask you, Dalton, do I sound any different?
Yeah, you sound way different.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that tells why I sounded like I was in a tunnel earlier. Yeah. Is it better or worse?
Right. I mean, it's fine. It's better. Good. Yeah, great. Right, I'm glad we did this in minute 50.
Yep. Oh, well, I didn't know. Boy. You guys didn't tell me I sounded bad.
Well, I didn't notice it until you... I didn't notice it until you walked in the tunnel.
Oh, my God.
That's when I noticed it, too.
Well. All right. So, anyways, I guess I'll get to my prediction. My prediction is a blowout. Dallas 45, Seattle 24. And it's all because Dak threw a seam in the last game. He threw a seam route. A seam route was there, and he threw it, guys.
Well, that's obviously not the truth.
Dallas is going to put up 45. No, I am going to go with the Cowboys win, and I think the AT&T Stadium is going to be nuts for this game.
Hoping so.
I really do think they are going to be going crazy in there. I really think that they're going to score 28 points in this game. I think it's going to be 28-24, and the Cowboys are going to be going on to the divisional round of the playoffs. Do it.
Like it.
Do it, Connor.
You know you want to.
Take us to draft season, Connor.
All right. The Cowboys are going to win 31-26. And the only reason I'm saying that, because if they don't win, this podcast is history, because you're never going to hear from me again.
No, so, I think me and Cole can take care of it.
I have faith in you, but just the three-piece is just history, because it's going to be a two-piece, because you're never going to hear from me again. So
we'll replace you.
Okay, or you replace me. Dalton, this is why I hate you, but... No, I think they win 31-26. I think it's a close game, all game. I just don't think this Seattle offense is going to do what they want with this Cowboys defense. I think that they've gotten beat up a little bit these last few weeks. And I think, yes, the Giants put up a lot of points on them last week, but I just think that they had cashed it in. You know, we'd heard DeMarcus talk about, you know, he won't play in the fourth quarter. I think they knew what was at stake, and they knew how they could relax a little bit. I don't think that happens this week. I think they come out. I'm not going to say that they're going to be, you know, sacking Russell Wilson left and right, but I think they put enough pressure on him where he does make a mistake or two, which he normally does not. I think they do put that pressure on him. He makes a mistake or two. I think the Cowboys defense scores another touchdown this week. I think they end up, you know, playing well on offense. I think we saw some things last week that should give us some signs of encouragement, whether it's, you know, Dak or Garrett or Nussmeier having some say in the play calling, whatever it was, I can't see they go away from that. So getting these tight ends more involved, keeping the RPO action going, I think it's going to happen. I think they come out on top. I think the Cowboys win. That's a three-piece. We all three said they were going to win. So if they don't, I don't know, blame Dalton. Blame
I think
Cole.
We should blame Dalton.
Blame me. Blame us all. I don't know. Just blame us. But if they do win, you know who to give credit to. So if you are going to the game on Saturday, please wear white. It is a whiteout, according to, you know, the high-up officials. So wear white. Be loud. Be quiet when the Cowboys have the ball. I want to be able to hear a pin drop in that stadium. When they're in the huddle, when they are, you know, calling plays, it should be silent. When Seattle has the ball, it should be chaotic. Be loud. Be proud. Wild card weekend, baby. Let's do this, Cowboys Nation. Let's do this. We're talking the star. We hope that we will come back next week and be very, very happy. I'm Connor. Dalton and Cole with me. We're talking the star, and we'll see you guys next time.
Hello, I'm Ashley Carmen.
I'm Caitlin Tiffany.
We're the hosts of Why'd You Push That Button, The Verge's show about all the choices technology forces us to make.
And we're back for season 3, talking about questions like, why do you delete your tweets?
And why do you type in lowercase letters that make you seem like a serial killer?
And why are you on an exclusive dating app?
You're not that special. We're releasing a new episode every Wednesday, and you can find us anywhere you typically find podcasts, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts. So go ahead and subscribe and check us out.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.